Breaking news today on Seculo as the first bus of illegal immigrants, the border crossers in Texas, arrive in Washington, D.C. We'll also be joined by former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. Yeah, we are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. People mocked Governor Greg Abbott, of course, on the left, when he announced that Texas would allow migrants to make sure that they weren't overrunning towns in Texas, especially small towns along the border. So provide charter buses to allow them, if they so choose. They're not forcing anybody. But once they cross that border, the Biden administration letting them back into the United States. Texas saying, hey, you want to go to Washington, D.C.? Well, they ended up in Washington, D.C. 8 a.m. this morning, 8 a.m. Eastern time, they showed up right on Capitol Hill. I mean, right there, if you're used to seeing it, you can see some of the images that are coming out from places like Fox News. I'm sure there'll be more images later today. And the White House is blaming Texas for supply chain issues. Yes, it's now Texas's fault that you can't go buy a new car. It's Texas's fault that the food is not on the shelves because they are checking these migrants once they come into Texas to make sure they are not carrying fentanyl that kills Americans. They are making sure again that these are the people that are. Again, where are they going to go to make sure that they're not overrunning Texas towns and resources and the ability? And it's working. According to the Texas Department of Emergency Management, the agency told the media that Monday, many of the communities, they reached out for support from the Rio Grande Valley to Terrell County in Texas. They said the federal government stopped dropping immigrants in their town since Governor Abbott announced this move on April 6th. So the federal government has also gotten the word out of Texas that you cannot keep putting these folks in our towns. But I want to hear from you on this. I'd love to hear from people along the border on this issue, because I think what's happening is you're seeing creative moves by governors trying to protect their people. And by the way, these illegal immigrants, if they're illegal immigrants or if they're here trying to claim asylum and they're going to wait, you know, years to actually have that case, the idea is that there's other places in the country where they've got people they know. So if they choose to go to Washington, D.C., they choose to go to Washington, D.C. By the way, a lot of single males, they always talk about that issue with asylum and the migrants. It's not all, but you see a lot of single males getting off of that bus in Washington, D.C., and a little taste of what it's like to be on the border for our nation's capital. If you want to talk to us on the border issue and the border security issue, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We've got an update too. You know, we don't just talk about things on this broadcast. We do the work. And at the ACLJ, we have our first joint filing in federal court. It's due at the end of the month, where we work with the court and these government agencies like ICE and Department of Homeland Security and Border Patrol. And they've got to tell the courts how many records they think they have to process and how long it will take before we get there. Remember, this is our FOIA work on why they removed Operation Talon, which was a human trafficking operation and sex trafficking operation to try and prevent that. You know, the Biden administration ended that program. They ended Remain in Mexico. Why? We're trying to get to the bottom of it through FOIA. So there's an update there about how the ACLJ is actually engaged. We're going to take your calls. We're going to get into this further, too. Wes Smith is going to join me in the next segment of the broadcast, get to some of the security issues, but also the humanitarian issues. We get so oftentimes, as pointed out, it's the bad Republicans who don't want to treat these people right. But yet, when you just open the border and let the flood begin, the amount of crime, and we're talking about to these humans, these are human beings that are being trafficked, sold, sex trafficked, minors, drugs, gangs, crime. It's not mean to actually try and protect these migrants from those harms as well. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ. If you're financially able to, I like to say right now, I know people are having a tough time, but if you're able to, this is a great time to do it. You can double your impact with our matching challenge. Donate at aclj.org. We'll be right back. Start taking your calls.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secule, if you're just joining us, we are taking your calls too. 1-800-684-3110. Second half of the broadcast, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, ACLJ Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, is going to be joining us to discuss some of the energy prices as he travels the country and talks to voters across the country and talks to a lot of activists across the country. And he's got a piece up at aclj.org on that. So we will get into that issue as well. I think it all ties in together, this kind of chaos feeling in the United States with inflation numbers like we went through yesterday and the border about to just go, you know, wild again. Texas being successful in, again, giving these migrants and illegal immigrants, some of them illegal immigrants, some who are going to try and claim asylum, but likely, again, those are cases that are backlogged years, hey, you can get on bus to Washington, D.C. And guess what? People mocked him. Guess what happened this morning? The first bus to arrive right on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. at 8 a.m. Eastern time with about 40 of those illegal immigrants or asylum seekers. You kind of go either way on that. But here's the issue. They're now inside the United States. I mean, some of them were taking selfies. People are questioning, are they taking selfies with the phones we gave them? Remember, the Biden administration is giving them all phones. And now, because Abbott was successful in doing this, the White House is pushing back and saying, oh, well, this is causing supply chain issues. And these people, you know, trying to blame Texas for the parade of horribles that the United States is dealing with. By the way, a lot of the reason Texas is rechecking vehicles and places is because of the drugs that are killing Americans in all sectors of life, rich and poor, middle-class Americans all across the country. You don't have to live in a border state to be dealing with the fentanyl crisis that we're seeing. And the young teenagers in high school dying from it, not knowing that it's in some pill they think they want to take. So again, reasons to do this. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air about the border situation and the immigration situation in our country. We are about to, I think, see just an explosion. I'm going to go to Wes Smith on this because, Wes, that's how it feels. Mm-hmm. And we are about to see an explosion of illegal immigration. Title 42, they're still preparing to drop, even though there's a number of Senate Democrats mm-hmm. who have come out in opposition to this, especially because they're saying you're doing this at the same time you really have not dropped a lot of the COVID rules, unmasking and items like that. And a lot COVID was spreading through Washington, D.C. these last a week and a half. Hopefully not a strain that's very deadly or anything or serious. But, you know, this is not the time to drop it if you don't have a plan B.
Yeah, they just extended public transportation mask mandates for another 15 days. And yet on May 23rd, Title 42 goes away and they start letting more people in. They estimate that in this fiscal year, that 2 million people will have entered the country illegally with the Biden administration's assistance, if you will. I'm from the Atlanta area. That's like the entire city of Atlanta, that many people being admitted illegally into the country this year. And the thing that bothers me, Jordan, is that the administration is completely ignoring the national security and the sex trafficking issue that is involved in this. I understand people coming to America because they want to work or better their life. I don't think they should break the law to do it, but I get that. But the Biden administration is turning a blind eye and a deaf ear to the sex trafficking and the national security. You mentioned the fentanyl. You know, the fentanyl that goes to the drug cartels in Mexico where they make fake pills out of it, all of that fentanyl comes from China. China is using our open border to sow discord and the drug deaths in America. Over 100,000 people died of overdoses last year. So there's that issue and other national security issues. I mean, 150 different countries were represented so far in this fiscal year coming across the border that were apprehended. We don't know about the getaways. But the other thing, Jordan, is the moral issue with sex trafficking. Mm. 1 in 4 victims of trafficking are children. And when it comes to sex trafficking, 99% of those who are sex trafficked are women and underage girls. And in America, 20 to 30,000 children a year, according to experts that follow this, 20 to 30,000 children a year are introduced into the sex trade in the United States of America. Being brought across the border is an undeniable moral issue. And the traffickers, they don't go through ports of entry. They use the overwhelmed Border Patrol at those ports of entry to go in other places where the Border Patrol doesn't have enough personnel and manpower to actually patrol those areas. They come across. The sex traffickers, for the most part, are those who are what we call the getaways. And so the national security issues and the moral issue of sex trafficking, you never hear the administration express any alarm or shock or concern. And meanwhile, children, mainly young girls, are being trafficked in the United States of America to the tune of tens of thousands a year. It is so wrong.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, I want to go to the phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Rhonda in Florida on line one. Hey, Rhonda.
Hey, how are you?
We're good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you so much for all that you're doing. And I am so in agreement with what I just heard. I don't even listen to the news anymore. It's been like over a year. And I listen to you guys. Thank you so much for what you do. I can't say that enough. And for what I just heard about Governor Abbott, go Governor Abbott. We need to stand up like he is doing. And so, yeah, I just heard that. And I just wanted to say thank you for broadcasting it.
Yep.
And
I really appreciate what you said there, because what we try to do in our show every day is take what you might see in snippets in the news, or sometimes it's not even covered in the mainstream media at all, or it's in the very back, or it's in a mocking way, not in a serious way. And so that you could take away something, even if you listen to one segment of the show, you've got something you could take away, something that you've learned, something that you can tell other people about. And then usually we've got a piece up at ACLJ.org that you could then share if you wanted to get deeper into it with friends and family with questions about it, or that you wanted to learn more about. Like Heather on Facebook wrote in that Jen Psaki admits that immigration is the federal government's responsibilities, not Texas. That's right. But why don't they do something about the immigrants pouring in through the southern border? I mean, I think that's the frustration, Wes, right there, is they claim it's our job, not Governor mm-hmm. Abbott's. He's causing trouble now. Mm-hmm. They didn't say, by the way, he can't do what he's doing, because they did it in a unique way by making it voluntary. Right. And they're doing these checks after people have already crossed the border. So the federal job is done to make sure they don't have the illegal drugs on them, or you know, a bunch of kids in a car with a couple of grown men getting to the sex trafficking issue we're talking about. But yet still, Jen Psaki admits it's their responsibility, mm-hmm. but they try to blame everything on someone else.
Oh, absolutely. You're talking about deflecting responsibility. They are, Jordan, it's not hyperbole to say that the federal government, because of the Biden administration, is doing nothing to really secure the border. They canceled the wall. They're canceling Title 42. They are processing people in, giving them notices to appear that we know the vast majority, some 3/4 of them, never come back for an immigration court hearing. They're allowing them to go into the country. They're not only allowing it, they are chartering aircraft and bringing them to various countries in America. There was a plane that landed this week on the suburbs of New York City with 100 immigrants on it. They are assisting these people in breaking federal law. The idea that the federal government is actually doing anything about border security is completely false, and it's a joke. And I don't blame the governors of Texas and other states who are really concerned about this. And even, you know, the Democrats running for re-election in Arizona for the U.S. Senate are having to be concerned about it, because the people in America are upset because of the sex trafficking, the crime, and the drug issue, the national security issue. But all of these things are simply not being addressed by the administration, other than to ridicule the governor of Texas.
Yeah, folks, that's what, you know, we talk about that concerned issue. Who is concerned about it? We're starting to see some bipartisan concern finally on this issue. But how concerned are you about it? I mean, I know there's a lot going on in the world, but we're about to see, unfortunately, I think, very similar to what we've seen each summer when the weather gets warmer. So we're getting close to Easter, this real spring, warm weather. It's when you start seeing these big movements of people and caravans, and they know Title 42 is being dropped now. So anybody who thinks they've got an asylum claim is going to be allowed to cross the border, you know, without getting tested, I guess, for COVID or any issues like that. But at the same time, Washington wants to still say there's a pandemic going. I mean, it's a very bizarre balance. But how concerned are you about it? I mean, and how it's affecting you, your community, your security, and your safety, because the drugs go everywhere. The fentanyl goes everywhere. The trafficked kids go everywhere. I want to take your calls on it, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I mean, you're probably noticing a theme from the broadcast this week is that we're really kind of focusing in on the issues affecting the United States of America. Some that are right at our border, others with the gas prices and the decisions we've made with foreign policy. Are they the right decisions? When you don't have American energy independence and you start cutting off other oil and gas and you're unwilling to allow energy companies here in the United States to do their job. I mean, this is the real issues, and inflation, like we focused on yesterday in the broadcast, all coming together. So I want to hear from you. Is this a top issue that you vote on? Is it a top issue that you're concerned about? 1-800-684-3110, and how it affects you. And maybe it's affected your family, the fentanyl. It's affected almost everybody knows someone in a family where it has. 1-800-684-3110. I encourage you, remember, on all of these issues, we're battling on them. We're battling on getting to the bottom of why they stopped a program that was successful in preventing a lot of the human and sex trafficking at the border. Did they do it just because it was a Trump policy? Because that would be pretty disgusting. And why didn't they have anything to replace it? Why don't they have anything to replace Title 42? That's the big questions.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Getting ready to take your phone calls on Seculo. I want to go back to when Governor Abbott announced this. This was on April 6th, and so just about a week ago, and he was mocked. Now he's not being mocked anymore. I'll get to what Jen Psaki put out in a written statement about the bus that arrived in Washington, D.C. this morning. I mean, it just happened, 8 a.m. this morning, the first bus, and I think there will be more, and it's taking it right to the home. Because, you know, if they're not going to go look, remember, they don't want to actually go to the border, they don't want to actually see where the problems are and these families that are coming across, then you know what? Bring them to Washington, D.C. so that they can see. And I mean, I don't think this will be the last bus. I think this is, again, this is a plan to take and alleviate the burden that is on these small Texas cities and counties and towns that are along the border who have just got too many people. I mean, it's like doubling and tripling their population in days when they get these massive drop-offs. We know they're still doing those flights. I know I've seen them on, you know, you've seen them in the news, those late night flights where they drop off people and they land in the middle of the night and then release them into communities. But I want to play this from Governor Abbott, Bite 5.
To help local officials whose communities are being overwhelmed by hordes of illegal immigrants who are being dropped off by the Biden administration, Texas is providing charter buses to send these illegal immigrants who have been dropped off by the Biden administration to Washington, D.C. We are sending them to the United States Capitol, where the Biden administration will be able to more immediately address the needs of the people that they are allowing to come across our border.
You know, so he makes that clear statement. And again, this people are getting to choose to do that. Texas is not forcing anybody to do it. And since it's giving them people other options, say, hey, you know, maybe you know people in the Washington, D.C. area, that it's going to be better than what you're doing to us in Texas, where you might not have these contacts. Because, you know, most of these folks this time around came from Colombia, Cuba, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. So they weren't necessarily people right from Mexico that had direct family or friends contacts in Texas. These were coming from Central and South America. So the issue, though, goes into, then you've got Jen Psaki. This is what she says. Governor Abbott's unnecessary and redundant, because they're also doing this, inspections of trucks transitioning ports of entry between Texas and Mexico are causing significant disruptions to the food and automobile supply chains, delaying manufacturing, impacting jobs, raising prices for American families in Texas and across the country. Except for the fact that he's trying to protect American families in Texas and across the country, because a lot the drugs are being trafficked this way, and it takes the fentanyl on the very tip of your pinky finger, a couple of dots of it, to kill an average adult. So a kid who thinks they're taking some pill in high school, which is not good that they're doing that, but they think they're taking that, and then it's got a little fentanyl in there, and they're dead. That's it. So, you know, and then they're blaming him now for inflation. So I guess it's Putin and Abbott who are responsible for the prices at your grocery store and at the pump. You got to be kidding me. I mean, and they claim it's their responsibility, yet they won't take responsibility. They don't actually go and look. They try and go after our Border Patrol. God bless them. They're having a very difficult time. They are the agents charged with doing this, but they're not getting the support to actually be able and protect the border. Let me go back to the phones at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Tim in Colorado on line two. Hey, Tim.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. I don't listen to the White House press conferences and some of these other interviews that are on television. And so Colonel Smith raised some very serious concerns or questions about the illegal immigration with the trafficking and the national security concerns and so on. Are there any journalists who are seriously asking these questions in these public forums? Are you aware of any? I also would like to encourage any journalists listening to this broadcast or to actually start raising these concerns in a real serious manner. Are there any who are asking these questions?
You know, I think I know it's tough to track those briefings. They're usually in the middle of the day, and you folks are at work. But you know, we do that here. of course, at ACLJ. And the people that ask the questions, Fox News. It's who you exactly would think, the people that are in the room that ask. Now, when things start to pick up at the border and it becomes more of this like humanitarian crisis, then you get more questions. But it's kind of, you've already lost at that point, because once it's become a humanitarian crisis, you have not secured the border. You have not done the protections in place for these migrants to make sure they're not being trafficked, human trafficking, sex trafficking, minors in sex trafficking. I mean, think about it, the fentanyl, the drugs, the gangs, the criminal activity. And their idea is, you know, give them a phone and maybe they'll show up for their asylum case hearing, which could be years from now, years from now. So I guess we're also paying for a multi-year service plan for them with these phones. And by the way, the phones are used to track them. Trade the phone with somebody else, and guess what? They're not tracking the right person anymore. I mean, it's absurd what the administration is doing. But the only pushback they're getting, that's why broadcasts like ours are important, because we're going to learn the actual facts. And it's not just going to be about the tit and tat between what the governor does in a red state and what the blue administration says, you know, the Democrat administration says. We're going to get to you. We're actually telling you, he said he was going to do this. People mocked him. And the first bus arrived this morning on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. It's no joke. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Here's Peter Ducey. So it's an example. You know, you asked about that. And I think Peter Ducey, I mean, he's kind of standing alone a lot of the times in this, in that White House briefing room. And they mock him all the time, too. They're pretty nasty to him. But he stands up and asks the right questions. Byte 15.
With the telephonic, though, any concern by folks around here that these migrants will take the phones and just toss them? And
then, do you have a record of people throwing phones away?
I'm just asking if that's a concern.
Our concern is ensuring that individuals who irregularly migrate to the United States proceed through our process of, you know, of course, being monitored, but also participating in hearings to determine whether or not they will be able to stay.
You know, I mean, that's the point right there. She asked, "Do you have a record of people throwing away phones?" Well, this is a new program, and I don't know if they'll throw them away. But here's the way they get around being tracked. They trade them with each other. And then the government's already lost the tracking on the person. When they call them one day, if they ever do, for their asylee hearing, and they call them up, say, okay, your hearing is blah, blah, blah. It's this day, this time. We need you to arrive. The person's going to say, you got the wrong number, wrong person. And even if you were tracking their movement, you've been tracking the wrong person the whole time. So now, again, you don't have to throw the phone away. But they also could do that. The reason why he doesn't have a lot of evidence on people throwing phones away is because this is a new program. So you see how they answer those questions? They I think at some point they must understand the absurdity, but they get so much, so little pushback from the rest of the media that they just kind of move on. We're going to keep talking about this. We're going to do some other issues as well, some politics. Mike Pompeo is going to be joining us. You don't want to miss that, joining us live on the energy crisis in America right now, the price at the pump, and how that's affecting everybody. And he's traveling the country, talking to people all over the country. So we want to get his intake on as a former Secretary of State and as a former member of Congress. We want you to join the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110, and support the work of the ACLJ. And let me say, just very clearly, because I know people are hurting right now, only make that donation if you can, if you're financially able to. Make it very clear to everybody. If you do, you can double your impact. Be part of our matching challenge at aclj.org. Donate today. It's a really important month for us. If you can make that donation, aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo and the second half hour of our broadcast. The final segment of the broadcast where we join by former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who works with us at the ACLJ as a senior counsel for global affairs. So I always remind people that these are not just oftentimes guests of the broadcast. They're people we work with both on air and off the air. And former Secretary of State Pompeo is one of those individuals who joined our team. And I can't wait to get his insight on the oil. It's an issue that, you know, it's at the front center, everybody, because when gas prices are up like this and inflation's up like this, they're contributing a lot to why everything gets more expensive, because it's so much more expensive to deliver the goods. So it's more expensive to get things places. So it affects all of the cost. It is driving the inflation numbers in an extent. And so, again, but we're also going to talk about the border crisis. A lot of calls coming on that at 1-800-684-3110. I want to take more of those calls as we get those ready for the broadcast. I mean, John wrote in on YouTube. He said, imagine if instead of phones and vouchers for illegal immigrants, how easy it would be to fund veterans and homeless vets. I mean, you know, again, it's the priorities in America seem off. Under the Trump administration, the priority was start securing the southern border, get the wall built, do what we can, because we need to focus on the American people and make sure that they are being protected, make sure they've got the jobs they need, that they've got the resources they need, that they're not paying $6 and $7 a gallon of gas and $100 a barrel. But, you know, when you look at reports that the administration was putting together, when they were putting together their kind of Green New Deal program to get off oil and gas, the Biden administration, they predicted that oil and gas would get to about $100 a barrel. And guess what? We're there plus some. So they knew this was coming if they instituted their plan to basically make America no longer energy independent, to cut down the Keystone Pipeline so that we're no longer actually an exporter of energy, which also helps the American economy. Now we are an importer of energy, and we rely on other countries and some bad actors as well. So we'll continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you're just joining us, it's just a reminder that the Texas governor said, we're going to start sending these migrants to Washington, D.C., so they chartered buses. If they want to go to Washington, D.C., they could. And guess what? First bus arrived this morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Time on Capitol Hill. And those migrants got out. They got some paperwork, and they were released. There's the picture right there, the Capitol right in the background. People mocked Abbott, said, oh, no, this is not going to happen. This is just some political move. And guess what? It's happening. And I don't expect that to be the last bus. That's only the first bus. And then now the switch from the administration, instead of saying, this is politics, is blaming Texas. Yes, it's Texas's fault for inflation. I thought it was Putin's fault yesterday. Now it's Texas's fault for inflation, because they want to make sure they check the trucks because of all of the illegal activity that goes on in the back of these big trucks. Trafficking of humans, sex trafficking of minors and adults, all illegal. And the drugs, the fentanyl, made by the Chinese Communist Party, sent to Mexico to send out into our country to kill Americans. And it's killing Americans from teenage kids to adults. And it doesn't matter if you are rich, if you are poor, if you are middle class. I guarantee everybody I'm talking to right now knows someone that's been affected by these drugs and unfortunately has likely lost a life. It's why I'm so angry about it every time I talk about it, because it's we all know that this is hurting people. And it is more than just hurting people, killing Americans. So when they say, they've got, 2 pounds of fentanyl, and it takes a couple pieces of fentanyl dust to kill an adult, you think about how many Americans can be killed. There's enough fentanyl in the United States, you could almost every American could be killed. I mean, it's that absurd. So folks, we have to take these issues very seriously. Now, we're in court over them. As I updated you in the first half hour, we are in court over these issues. The ACLJ against the Biden administration, various departments. And we're getting a joint status report at the very end of the month to find out more information about why they removed policies that were working, what was going on. We're also taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to get into some politics, too, in the next segment of the broadcast.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
SecHill, we continue to take your calls in this segment of the broadcast at 1-800-684-3110 on the border issue. Britt, we'll get to you in just a second. The Hill has got a new piece up, and it ties directly into this, that the Democrats, I like hearing this, I love hearing this, face a nightmare scenario of biblical disaster. That's what a Democrat strategist told The Hill. Biblical disaster in the midterm elections. Now, I always say, you know, we're months out, you know, things could change. If you're working to get conservatives elected, you got to keep doubling down, keep working, make sure the good candidates are chosen in primaries, ready to go. But when you talk about biblical disaster, maybe that's because of inflation that wasn't so short term, immigration, as we've been talking about and continue to talk about on the show, the war in Ukraine, where we've now, you know, we had to cut Russian oil and gas. The reason why we were dependent on Russian oil and gas is because this administration came in and ended America's energy independence, and where we were actually exporting energy. We had more than we needed, to now having to rely on a Russia, to even try and rely on an Iran or a Venezuela, bad actors in the world. And so when you cut Russia off, you got to go to some of the other bad actors to get your oil and gas. And of course, there's still the lingering COVID-19 pandemic. They just extended the mask on planes. We saw COVID go through Washington, D.C. elites this past week and a half or so. It doesn't seem like people are getting very sick on whatever, if this is a new variant, but it's still out there. And so, you know, I say that because they usually are the ones that love that, because they can mask and shut down and not actually go to work and work from home and all these issues, and let our cities be overrun by the homelessness crisis, which we're seeing in places where we have offices at the ACLJ all the time. But I want to go back to your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Britt in Nevada online for. Hey, Britt.
Hey, hi. Thanks for taking my call. But, you know, I'm wondering why it is that Texas officials feel the need to ask the illegal immigrants coming in, if they want to go to Washington, why don't they just put them on a bus and send them wherever they feel like sending them?
Well, this gets into some of the legal issues. So what they're doing is, and I think they're offering other places too, is they're trying to take the burden off the Texas towns and cities, especially the ones along the border. And Harry Hutchison, our director of policies here, Harry, legally, it's not easy for Texas because of what the Supreme Court has decided in a number of cases about immigration enforcement. Jen Psaki's right. This is their federal government's responsibility. So, but you can play a secondary role by offering these charter buses and voluntarily allowing people to go other places. And what I think we'll see is that most want to get out of Texas because it is overrun. They don't. This is not a good place to stay. So they want to go somewhere else. And he's not having to ask the Biden administration for approval. He's just having to say, hey, we got a bus going to Washington, D.C. If you got any connections or want to be there, jump on.
I think that's precisely correct. So the United States Supreme Court has identified the federal government as the supreme authority controlling immigration across our borders. So that's number one. So number two, because of that rule, the state of Texas has to make sure that it doesn't violate the law. And it can do so by asking whether or not these illegal immigrants wish to go to Washington, D.C. or Hawaii or Montana. And it has to do that, I think, because it would face a lawsuit from the federal government. Keep in mind that the federal government is run by neoliberal globalists who don't believe in borders, unless we're talking about perhaps the Ukrainian border. They certainly don't believe in the American border. And so the federal government has simply abdicated its responsibility to protect the American people. They are likely to continue to do this, even though there is a bipartisan uproar in Washington against the Biden administration's policies. So I think at the end of the day, we have to continue to live with the possibility that our U.S. immigration policy is run by political hooligans.
Yeah, I mean, I want to play. This is a Kinney County, Texas sheriff. He just lays it out. We're doing this because guess what? The Biden administration isn't even doing it. So we end up checking them once they're in our territory. The trucks that Jen Psaki is so upset about by 12.
First of all, he needs to shut down the border. One of the things that we've talked with Governor Abbott is bigger presence near the ports of entry where Texas DPS, the troopers, can stop these trucks coming in that are delivering supplies and goods and do a full safety inspection on them. That will clog up the ports of entry. And if we do that within 2 or 3 days, the Mexican government will come to our table to help discuss this. But the Biden administration needs to enforce the laws that are on the that are already on the books.
And he has said, there's, Harry, two things he said there. There's laws already on the books. And then if we do what we can do, stop these trucks delivering the supplies and goods and the troopers having to check them and making sure they don't have fentanyl because that's not being done at the border, even though it should be being done at the border. If we do that, then Mexico will also come to our table to discuss it because it's in their interest economically to get those buses across that are goods going into the United States.
I think that is precisely correct. And that was, by and large, the policy of the prior administration. The Trump administration negotiated with the nation state of Mexico to limit the inflows of illegals. And keep in mind, the Biden administration is unwilling to protect the American people, even though there are laws on the books. And so what do we have? We have drug trafficking. We have human trafficking. We have sex trafficking. And basically, the Biden administration is okay with that. And they are unwilling to protect the American people. Why? Because they believe more strongly in ideology than putting Americans and American interests first.
You know, I wanted to go, let me go to the phones on this on Title 42. Beth in New Jersey, online too. Hey, Beth.
Hi. I'm thankful for the work that you do, and I support ACLJ.
Thank you.
My question is, on Title 42, how does that get implemented? And by that I mean, who do they turn away at the border? Do they test the immigrants, or do they watch for symptoms if someone's coughing, therefore
so
maybe
under,
they
under
have
Title
COVID?
42, it was just a ban. I mean, Harry, it was a ban. You could, because the pandemic was raging, COVID was raging across the country, they were just expelled. So these including asylum, it allowed also for asylum seekers not to be able to make their claim and then be released into the United States. And, you know, the administration kept it for over a year, but now it looks like they are coming down and winding that down sometime in May.
I think that's correct. But I would also point out that the administration is likely to prove itself more inconsistent in the future. So on one hand, they want to get rid of Title 42 for illegals, but they still want to impose CDC mandates, for instance, on U.S. citizens who are traveling on planes and buses. And so I think the Biden administration wants to have it both ways. But I think at the end of the day, more and more Americans are coming to this conclusion that the Biden administration is simply a ball of confusion. It's a ball of inconsistency and incoherence. And I think at the end of the day, hopefully the American people will respond to the confusion that is coming from Washington, D.C. in November.
Yeah, I did want to get to one other issue just to let you know. We are on the Swalwell issue, you know, with the spies and Fang Fang and this issue that we have two separate things going on right now. Negotiating some items on with the FOIA with the DOJ right now, but we're also in a companion lawsuit on Swalwell and Fang. It's one against the FBI. This is interesting. We had a summary judgment briefing, and as a result of that, after the FBI read the ACLJ brief, the FBI called our ACLJ attorney, Ben Sisney, and said, hey, maybe we can work out an agreement. Here's what happened. The FBI had claimed the wholesale, it's called a global response. They neither admit nor deny they have any records on Swalwell and Fang Fang and Chinese spies with these elected officials. But we poked a hole in their claim because they went too far. They went overbroad. They realized it and that they were vulnerable, and now they want to work it out. And so that speaks to the great work of our ACLJ attorneys. It also speaks, though, to Harry, when you commit to fight these issues out, you have to commit long term.
Absolutely. So you have to be persistent and you have to continue to fight, because otherwise you will indeed lose. But it turns out, of course, that the FBI is comprised of human beings and they continue to make mistakes. This is a particularly important suit because Mr. Swalwell is a walking national security risk who sits on the House Intel Committee. And so I think it's very, very important that the ACLJ has continued to pursue its claims against both the FBI and other agencies. We need those records because Mr. Swalwell, more likely than not, has compromised U.S. interests in favor of supporting China.
It looks like now the FBI, they want to work together because they messed up in court. That's because our attorneys are really good at what they do. Folks, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org if you're financially able to. I keep saying that throughout this month. It's a big month for us, but only if you're able to. It's not going to hurt your bottom line. aclj.org, double your impact. Mike Pompeo up next.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Seculo, we are joined now by our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. And Secretary Pompeo, I want to go right to you have an article up at aclj.org. It's called Now is the Time to Unleash American Energy, which Lord knows everybody listening to this broadcast would like to see that now. You wrote that high gas prices for American families, high cost of living and operating businesses due to ever-increasing inflation, the soaring fertilizer prices. I had a caller yesterday talking it was 200-300%. Increase in fertilizer prices for American farmers, devastating war in Ukraine. They're all difficult realities Americans are having to grapple with right now. But you argue that all could have been avoided. How could we have avoided it?
Jordan, you know, some things just happen sometimes, but this one was foisted upon us by an administration that put the green climate agenda ahead of the American people. And so all the list of things you just ticked off, whether it's the cost to fill your car at the gas station or what will trickle through to food prices for chicken and beef and everything that depends on fertilizer that is basically natural gas in many instances. These are things that impact families across every economic strata all across the nation. And it happened because the Biden administration wanted to live in a fantasy land, a land where sunshine and wind were going to drive American energy. We know that's not affordable for most families. We know it doesn't actually deliver. And it created enormous risk to families all across the country. And we see what's happening in Europe today. This was a direct result of a choice made by the Biden administration. It's the tragedy that didn't have to be. These were political costs that are being driven through American families today, not ones that are a result of economic activity.
Yeah, and I want people to see it up at aclj.org, your piece, Now is the Time to Unleash American Energy. It's up there at aclj.org. But we saw yesterday historically high inflation numbers, and you tweeted out, inflation is at its highest point in over four decades. This is a tax on the American people, especially families who are paying for Biden's failures. We can make things a lot better right now by embracing our domestic natural gas, oil, coal, and nuclear energy. When you look at those numbers yesterday, I mean, they were pretty shocking. We spent almost the entire broadcast going through these numbers and the stats there and really kind of what it would look like if those numbers continue for the American people. I mean, how dire to you do these numbers look? I mean, we hear it every single day on this broadcast when we talk about that issue. We hear from people vast different issues, whether they're business owners or work at a company, big companies, small businesses. It's affecting everybody.
Jordan, it's everywhere. And my fear is it's going to get worse than what we're seeing is just the tip of the iceberg. When you constrict the American economy in the way that they have, when you deny the simple things like fracking and producing American energy, you're going to see these costs just push through and continue to put a burden on American workers, American manufacturing companies, businesses, and the people who work in those places. You can fix this too. That's the good news. The Biden administration could reverse course. It could allow the Keystone Pipeline to be completed. It could stop these silly set of rules that are the ESG rules that cause people not to want to invest in the next generation of American affordable energy. Those are the kind of things that we did for 4 years in the Trump administration. We had low gas prices. People could afford to heat their homes. All the things that people had frankly come to take for granted for 4 years have now been upended because of this, the idea that Greta's got it right and the American people have it wrong. If we go back to the basics of how to build our economy, we'll let the good people of Pennsylvania and Texas and West Virginia and Kansas produce the energy for America that will make sure that American families can afford to do all the things that they've been able to do for all these years before the Biden administration upended it.
You know, the administration, though, Secretary Pompeo, they're just blaming Putin. It feels like when they did that and they came out ahead of those inflation numbers being released and they said, oh, this is the Putin inflation, this is all Putin's fault, that was it. They didn't say they're going to try to do anything. I mean, that's very concerning to our folks, the ACLJ, and our listeners, our supporters, when they just heard blame Putin, but no policy changes.
No, Jordan, that's right. They can't. They are stuck because the progressive ideology demands that you move away from these affordable energies. They're not interested in the American people or working Americans. They are interested in their progressive leftist ideology of climate change. That's their sole and singular focus. They, in fact, say, well, goodness, these high energy prices mean we should go to wind and solar even more quickly. Jordan, it just doesn't work. The math isn't there. The infrastructure isn't there. It's not possible to do that. The only solution, the only way to get these energy prices, and it's not just gas and heating. It's going to flow through the cost of your clothes, the electricity that you use in your everyday life. This is going to drive through the entire American economy, and it's likely to generate a recession, which will, you know, cause people to be out of work and all the tragedies that we saw in the 1970s. It feels like a repeat of what President Carter did to America. I pray that the cooler heads inside the Biden administration, to the extent there are any, prevail, and they begin to reverse these disastrous policies.
Yeah, because that's what it feels like, Secretary Pompeo. It feels like this is actually kind of what they wanted to see in energy. I mean, they did reports on their Green New Deal, their studies, and they said, you know, to get to where we need to be, to get Americans more interested in electric cars and other sources of energy, you know, oil will probably be at $100 a barrel. Well, here we go. And so it almost feels like, though they don't want to come right out and say it, this is what they want to, like, feel this pain so that we have to, as you said, invest in these other forms that are not going to be ready soon, are not even always viable, and they actually want us to be feeling this pain.
There's no doubt there are those in the progressive movement that view this disaster, the pain that families are feeling, they view it as opportunity. They view it as their window, this chance to ultimately achieve what they wanted, which is to convert America to this unaffordable energy source and then take down the American economy as a result of that. I don't think there's any doubt that there are some who believe it. They know inside their own organization, they know, because they know they've got to get this fuel to the market. They're demanding the Saudis produce it, the Venezuelans produce it, the Iranians produce it. They're going to thugs to produce the energy we could produce here at home in an attempt to at least bridge it and have it both ways. But there are the radical left most certainly believes that this is an opportunity, that the price you're paying at the gas pump, they see as a blessing to a greener, more climate-friendly world. Mm. It's unimaginable to me.
You know, we know the Russian sanctions haven't really stopped the Russian global energy sales. We were kind of a standalone country in that. We've also seen the ruble recover. So as long as Russia, just switching there a bit, it keeps selling, but it all gets the oil and gas issue too around the world. Is the move by the Biden administration actually hurting Americans more than Putin at this point because we didn't get the buy-in from the international community?
I saw this for 4 years. When there are gaps left in sanctions, the bad guys will drive a truck through them. And the sanctions that the Biden administration put in place had big gaps. It had gaps with their financial services industry. We left some of the banks unsanctioned. It was just the United States that said, we'll stop buying Russian energy. The Europeans said, well, in a few months, we'll stop buying Russian coal. They buy very little. So, yes, Vladimir Putin is not feeling this. The ruble has not been impacted. That tells you that these sanctions have been ineffective because they've been incomplete. You have to make a decision if you're going to actually be serious about not only applying the sanctions but enforcing them. And to date, the Biden administration has not done that, and Americans are paying the price for it.
You know, Secretary Pompeo, as always, it's great to have you on the ACLJ team as a senior counsel for global affairs. Folks, I want you to check out Secretary Pompeo's new piece up at ACLJ.org. Now is the time to unleash American energy. And, you know, I think this whole show today, it's the breadth of all the work that we're doing at the ACLJ on the border issue, on the American energy independence issue, and the people that we've got involved, experts that we've got involved, from West to Harry to the former Secretary of State, and his pieces that he writes, and they are exclusive to the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. We have this team because of your support financially of the ACLJ. So again, I say, only if you're financially able to right now, because some people are hurting. Donate to ACLJ. It's a very important month for us, a matching challenge month of April. Donate today at ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.